spiritual hunger for His righteousness. So today we'll continue on with the discipleship series that we just started last week. And I would say to each and every person in this house listening on live stream that each one of us has been invited by the Master to be His disciple. There's not a person in this house that has not been invited, that has not been called to be His disciple. Or you wouldn't be here. Or you wouldn't be here. We are all called to be His disciple. So as we go through this, you have to ask yourself, am I a disciple? Am I a disciple? The call is out to each one of us. The call is out to each one of us. But it's up to us as individuals to answer that call. Are we going to answer that call? Yes, no. In Matthew, it says, always remember, many are called, but few are chosen. Will we be chosen? Will we have the stamina, the determination to walk it out? And even more so, as things get a little bit more challenging for us in the days ahead. There's always a cost to be considered when you move out into discipleshipness. There's always a cost to be considered. There's an expectation that's placed on a disciple. There's an expectation that at some point you're going to move from an apprentice type person, an apprentice in training, to one who grows. There's going to be an expectation in growth and maturity as you continue on working and learning from the Master. There are times in Scripture where we see the assembly, being us, we could be an assembly, get challenged by the writers of the epistles. Perhaps their growth was slow in the making. And these writers had invested something in them. And we see this in 1 Corinthians 3:2. Paul writes, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now, you're still not able to receive it. If Paul was here today and came in and taught some of the things and preached the way he preached to his assemblies back then, we'd be offended almost all the time. He was always challenging them and correcting them. He was their master. He was their teacher. They were his disciple. And out of the book of Hebrews, in chapter 5, verse 12, he says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk again and not solid food. What would we think if someone said that to us? How dare you? How dare you say that to me? I have been in this walk for 8 years. How dare you? Don't you know who I am? Don't you know that I'm Jim DeTillo? Who is he? This is just my interpretation. Paul and the writer of Hebrews seem to be saying, if I've invested myself in you by teaching, training, and living out my life before you, there ought to have been some growth and maturity in the things of God. Isn't that basically what he's saying? I've invested in you. I've been here 2 or 3 times. I've written you letters. I've set up the fellowship. I've taught you. Shouldn't there be some growth and maturity by now? So as we embark in this series as disciples, because we're disciples, let us all go before the Father and ask Him through His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, to teach us areas where we might need to grow and mature. All of us have them. All of us have areas that we need to grow and mature in. So why won't we go to the Father and say, Father, I know You call me, and I'm just wanting to make sure that I'm walking this thing out, that I'm pleasing to You, that I'm learning from You, and I'm applying this thing in my daily walk with You. Am I doing okay in it? What area do You need to work in my life, Father? I open myself up to You as Your disciple to teach me. As Tom mentioned last week, a disciple was more of an apprentice. We understand that today. You might be an apprentice, electrician apprentice. You join a union. You start out as an apprentice and you go with a master electrician. And he spends time with you and he shows you how to do the job. And he teaches you and he invests in you. It's not only in classroom settings that this happens. He takes you out in the field. He works with you. He shows you things. Don't hold it this way. Don't touch that. You're going to get yourself hurt. Do it this way. The apprentice observes his teacher. He watches him. They watch the master. We watch the master. How do you do it? What can I learn from? Oh, I was doing it this way. Do I need to do it that way? They watch it in real life experiences. That was the job of an apprentice, and that was the job of the disciples. How did the teachers, how did the masters, how did the rabbis react and respond to everyday life? They were being observed by their disciples. If we are disciples and we're training people, what do they observe from us? How do we handle real life situations? Do we fall apart? Do we show strength? Do we show confidence in the Father? If someone's watching us, if we're the disciple, if we're the master or the teacher in our homes, what are we showing those that are watching us? What are we demonstrating? They saw how they reacted, responded, and lived out everyday life. They would live and learn from their teacher, as we saw the first century disciples doing with Yeshua. That's what they were doing. That's what they were doing. It was a total commitment. It was a total commitment to that lifestyle. They left everything. They followed Him. They were called. When Yeshua called out, "Follow me," the call was for a specific plan and purpose for that individual. When He calls out to each one of us and He says, "Follow me," there's a specific plan and purpose for each one of us. We don't need to be worrying about what this person's doing over here. We have a function right here. We need to do what He asked us to do and not worry so much about what Sally's doing. But there was an overarching goal when He called out each one of the disciples. It was to advance His kingdom. It was to advance His kingdom. That's what the call was. It was to go forth at some point in time and advance His kingdom to the known world. And so it is for us today. And so it is for us today. The call remains the same. The call remains the same. No matter who's in office, no matter who's running this country, we're of a different kingdom. We have a mission and a purpose that we need to go complete, and maybe it's to be a light in a dark place. We talked last night over at Tom's. We had the home group thing. We're talking about keeping our eyes on the bigger picture. There's a redemption plan in place that the Father's moving through what we would consider time, but is His space. He's moving His redemption plan forward. And He's asking us to be a part of that and to function within that. And we're getting too worried about what's going on down in the weeds. He's saying, "Come up. Come up. I'm up here. I'm ruling and reigning from the heavenlies. I'm ruling and reigning from the heavenlies. I'm enthroned. We need to lift our eyes. We need to keep our eyes on Him. Father, what is it that You're asking me to do this morning? What is it You're asking me to do today? Help me to hear. I don't hear too well." The disciples that followed Yeshua got to experience those real life experiences with Him. That He got to hear the inflection in His voice when He responded to a question and how He handled His adversaries. They sat back and they watched. How are you handling it? How are you responding? Are you honoring the Father? Are you still honoring the Father in the way you're responding? We don't have that opportunity today in the physical. But we do have His Word. We do have His Word. And we've been filled, if we've asked, with His Holy Spirit. We have the Spirit of God living within us. John 14:26 reminds us that we have the ultimate teacher, But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. We have the Holy Spirit to teach us. We have the Holy Spirit to teach us. Are we listening? Are we listening? Are we carving out time for that? Well, in order to bring a remembrance, the Spirit of God needs something to work with. He can't bring to remembrance something that's not in there. Do we have the Word of God working in us today? Do we have the Word, Spirit of God, the Word of God working within our vessels today? Are we spending ample time studying and meditating on His Word? David says in Psalms 119:16, "Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." There's some places in the world where they don't have Bibles. There's some places in the world where they've had to memorize the Scripture in their hearts, and that's all they have to work with. There's some places in the world, I heard, where they'll fight over a piece of paper of Scripture torn with just a few words on it. Thy word have I hid in my heart, Father, that even if I don't have this physical book in my hand, I won't sin against you. I'll have enough of it in there that, Father, it will sustain me. Because your Spirit will teach it. It will draw it back up and tell me how I'm supposed to walk out this life. Thank you. I don't know if you guys are listening or not, but I'm going to keep going. 2 Timothy 2:15. Paul encourages Timothy, make every effort to present yourselves approved to God, an unashamed workman who accurately handles the word of truth. Timothy, this is Paul, your master, your teacher. Here's what I need you to do, my son. I need you to make every effort. Not some effort, not sort of a kind of effort. Timothy, I've got a call on your life. I need you to make every effort, everything you got, Timothy, to accurately handle the word of truth, because there's many creeping in unaware. To make every effort is to be eager and zealous and diligent. So the Father didn't want me to apologize today for my eagerness for Him. And zealous and diligence, not mine, His, to labor and to study. So since we're not actually walking with Yeshua in the physical, we need to learn His ways of living, hailing and reacting to His life by what's written of Him. We need to know what's written of Him. We need to know what the Scripture says. We can see how He handled some things. We can see how He handled His adversaries. We can see how He handled people that were unclean, that were calling out to Him with a pure heart. Heal me! He didn't go to them saying, you're unclean, I can't touch you. He became ritually impure to heal them. It wasn't a sin. He just had to get purified before He went back into the temple. And guess what? No one else can do this for us. No one else can do this for us. As a disciple, no one can get this for you. No one can get this for you. While listening and learning from teachers can be a good and can be encouraging, it cannot replace what the Holy Spirit will reveal to you during your personal prayer and study time. It doesn't matter what I say today. If you don't leave with anything today and go into your prayer closet and ask the Father to show you what it is, not sure you'll even remember it. Nothing can replace that. Nothing can no matter how many tapes you want to play or how many lessons you want to go through until you get into your personal prayer time and study time so the Holy Spirit can teach you. As disciples, we need to learn, grow, and to be able to accurately handle the word of truth to the best of our ability. We're all at different levels. We're all at different levels. I listen to some people and I'm like, I'm Ned in the first grader. I don't know this stuff. I'm unqualified. I'm battling through some of this stuff just like you are. There's things I see in there I have no clue. I avoid teaching about it. Why would I teach about something I have no clue on? Well, Jim, it seems like you do that quite a bit. Well, just stay with me. We need to make every effort to be zealous and diligent for the ways of God, especially today. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What is it that we're going to do? On the Sermon on the Mount, Yeshua was teaching his disciples. His who? His who?
Disciples.
His disciples. And he said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." The word hunger here in the Greek is pineo. Pineo, to crave ardently, to seek with eager desire. To seek with eager desire. And according to Webster's 1828 version, which is the one I like, because it has lots of scripture references in it, it says, to hunger is to desire with great eagerness, to long for. It is a craving. It is a craving. Are we craving His presence? Are we craving His righteousness? You know, when we fast, Yom Kippur, and some of us maybe fast at different times, at some point, we're craving some food. We're craving something to eat. We're craving something to drink. Are we craving the same in the Spirit? It's that same intensity. It's that drawing. It's that desire to learn more of Him and find out who He is in our life. How do we get to that point? How do we get there? Are we at that point in our walk? Are we at a place where there's nothing that comes between our relationship and that we have with the Father? Are we at a place where there's nothing that comes between our relationship with Him through Messiah? Are we making every effort to make time for prayer and study? Still want to be a disciple?
Yes, we do.
Still want to be a disciple? There's a call. There's an expectancy. I just say what I'm given, so again, I'm sorry. Are we zealous? Are we eager? Are we diligent for the things of God? Is that really the expectation? Is that really what He expects? Or just, we love You, Lord. We really do. Sorry I won't get a chance to spend any time with You today, but man, You're awesome. What is His expectancy? What is His expectancy? He rebuked His disciples occasionally when they were being goofy. I love David. David, I relate to him somehow because he does a lot of goofy things, which I've done a lot of goofy things. Then he gets back up and he repents and then he does something else goofy. And I've done that. And then he just does something stupid. And I've done that. But at the end, he's walking with the Father. He's gotten up. He's repented. He's walking with the Father. He's getting back in the race. Sorry, that was then. This is now. We're going to leave that behind. I got something else to go do. But I love David. I love his prayer life. It inspires me. Does someone in your life inspire you? Find someone that does. Find a person in the Bible that inspires you. Learn from this person. Let David be one of our teachers. Psalms 55:17. Evening and morning and at noon I will pray. Evening and morning and at noon I will pray. I will cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. Psalm 5:3. My voice shall you hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to You, and I will look up, Father. I won't look at what's going down here in the world. I'm going to look up and start my day right here, Father, before Your throne room, giving You praise and glory. And You'll hear my voice.
Hallelujah.
Psalm 119:147. I rise before the dawning of the morning. I cry for help. My hope is in Your word. Who is the Word? My hope is in Yeshua. In the morning. In the morning. I get out of bed. Father, I give you praise and glory today. Father, I thank you that I'm anointed today. I thank you you're filling me with your Holy Spirit and your good gifts, Father. I thank you that I walk this day out in your plans and purposes. Help me do it because I might do something stupid. And by 9:30, I'm back. Father, yes, it happened. I did something stupid. Please repent. Father, I'm sorry. From Isaiah 50, check this one out. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. The Lord God has given me the tongue of discipleship to sustain the weary with the word. That's your calling. That's your calling. You're going to sustain the weary with the word. You're the light. You're the disciple. You're the one that's learned. You're going to go out and you're going to sustain the weary with the word. That's our job. Amen. That's our job. Oh, there's more to the scripture. Would you like me to skip it and go to the next one? He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. Mark 1:35. Oh, we're talking about our master now. Now, this is the one that we're a disciple of. This is the one that we're getting trained by. The Son of God. The perfect expression of Jehovah walking on the earth. This is what he did. This is what our master and our teacher did. Now, we're supposed to be his disciples. And we're supposed to be watching and learning what he did on the earth. This is what he did. Now, in the morning, having risen and long before the daylight, Yeshua went out and departed to a solitary place and he prayed. We don't like that scripture, Jim, because we live now in a very sophisticated society, so we don't have to do that anymore. Matthew 14:23. And when he sent the multitude away, he went up on the mountain to pray by himself. Now when evening came, he was alone there. Well, we got morning, we got evening, we got David at noon. They're praying guys. They're praying guys. Tom, when I said, Tom, what do you want me to teach? He said, I want you to teach about prayer so you can thank him. Okay? Then he put priorities. You remember? You sent me that? Okay. Just wanted to remember. Priorities. What are the priorities of a disciple? What are the expected priorities of a disciple? What is the expectation of Yeshua? If we're training with him and we're following him and we're walking in his footsteps and he's getting up and he's doing things and he's finding time to pray, what's the expectation? Do we have set times where we keep a daily appointment with Jehovah for prayer and study? So I'm going to concede because I've tried this before and I've mentioned these scriptures. I get it. Not everyone's going to get up early. I get it. Not everyone's going to turn the TV off at night. I get it. Not everyone can stop in the midday and pray. But when is that time? If it's not before daybreak, if it's not at noon, if it's not in the evening, when is it? I don't know. I don't know what works for you, but when is it? Is it planned for? Is there anything else that comes between that and getting along with our master? What is it? What's so important? What is it in our lives that's so important that we can't carve out that time? What is it? Is it squeezed in between all of our other priorities that come every phone call, every text message, every phone call, every Facebook? I watch people. Even when we're trying to talk about the Lord, every little distraction just draws us away. Every little thing, every little movement. We can be talking about every little movement. We just... What was it? We're talking about Him. Forget it. So I'm going to make a statement. And this is the part I talked about, apologize in the beginning. When I practice it at home, because I actually practice it, it doesn't come out nearly as confrontational. It's really a sweet message when I practice it. When I get here, I don't know what happens.
Somewhere between the mirror and here.
Sometime between... It's that sometime between the house and driving up 575, something clicks and I go nuts. So just, I'm trying to get us there. Here's my statement. And you remember I said the other day, God will offend your mind to reveal your heart? Does it all the time. I believe that we will all make the time and find the money to do the things that are important to us. I believe that with all my heart. Something important to you? You'll find the money. Is this ministry important to you? Is this ministry important to you? Will we sow into it financially? I don't know. I don't know who gives. If you're not, why not? You go take it up with him. Because there's a bigger plan and a purpose that we need to sow into. It's not just here. There's other things that the Father has for this little house. And it can't be done with just a few of us giving. It can't be done with just a few people. What about if five or six more families come in with kids? All right. God will offend your mind and reveal your heart. That's between you and Him. But there's a bigger purpose and a plan that we need to sow into. I'm going to go into a different subject here. Do we treat our prayer time, it's still prayer, as sacred time and space? As sacred time and space. Question, is our prayer time sacred time and space? Deborah, we learned last week what sacred space was, didn't we? After all, we're supposedly coming and communing with the Creator of the universe. Is that sacred space and time? Is it uninterrupted? Is it giving our best, like Paul said to Timothy? And when we do come to the Father, what intentions are we bringing? What are our intentions when we come before Him? So Moses was instructed in Exodus 19, 5 and 6 to share the following with the children of Israel at Mount Sinai. I'll pick it up a little bit. And I will be leaving very quickly after this message. So I'll be in the parking lot. You'll hear wheels squealing and I'll be gone. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all the people. For all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These were the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Who are we? Three people understand that they're children of Israel. Who are we?
Children of Israel.
Why are we the children of Israel? And Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 5, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Yeshua HaMashiach. And you are a chosen generation, you're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and besides that, you're a special people. That you may proclaim the praises of Him. That's another job as a disciple. We're going to proclaim the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but we are now the people of God. Who did not obtain mercy, but now have obtained mercy. When does His mercy come? Every morning. Your mercies come every morning. Boy, I live on that one. I start my day out every day. Father, have mercy. It's me again. So through faith, through believing in Yeshua, we are now a people of the covenant of God, a holy priesthood offering up spiritual sacrifices. When I hear or read sacrifices, I think of the Aaronic priest offering up sacrifices at the temple. It's code word. It's code word to bring us back there. And this was considered sacred space. Only the priests were to serve on the altar or to enter into the holy place. Before offering sacrifices, they had this instruction, the priest. Exodus 30, verses 17 through 20. Then Jehovah spoke to Moses saying, hey, you shall make a laver of bronze, and its base also of bronze for washing. You shall put it between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar, and you should put water in it. And Aaron and his sons washed their hands and their feet in the water. When they go into the tabernacle of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister, to burn the offering, the sacrifice made by fire to the Lord, they shall wash with water or they'll die. It was sacred space. You didn't come in unclean to sacred space. The priests were not to enter in unless they washed their hands and feet. They were to prepare themselves to enter into His presence. These things aren't in there just for our reading. They're here to teach us something. There was a preparation before they came into His holy presence or to serve Him in His holy place. We also see this in Exodus 38:8. He made a laver of bronze and its base of bronze from the bronze mirrors of the serving women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. From the bronze mirrors of the serving women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And as you would expect, the word mirror here means vision. And it comes from morah. Morah's root word is marae. Appearance or appearances. Morae's root word is ra'ah, to show thyself. To show thyself in the sight of others. So this is something I got. This is me talking, and I'm going to share it with you. If it ministers to you, take it. If it doesn't, shelf it. As the priests were washing as part of their purification measure before serving at the altar within the holy place, the tabernacle, could they observe a reflection of themselves within those mirrors as they were washing? Did they see themselves coming back in that reflection of those mirrors? Could it have been a time of inner reflection to examine their own hearts before entering into sacred space and into the presence of the Holy One? Was it a transition from worldly concerns and attitudes? Are we bringing those in when we come in to pray? We're bringing all of our stuff. Was it a transition from worldly concerns and attitudes into sacred space where they would serve and commune with the Almighty? A transition. As believers in Messiah, as part of being an Israel, as a royal priesthood, offering up spiritual sacrifice, should we do the same thing? Is it a picture of what we're supposed to be doing? Will our sacrificial offerings of prayer be a sweet aroma that is pleasing to our Father? Tefillah. Tefillah is one of the Hebrew words for prayer. This includes a moment of self-evaluation before praying. It magnifies the greatness of Elohim and the smallness of us. My best friend David here asked the Father to examine his heart again in Psalms 139:23. Hey, search me, Father. Know my heart, try me, and know all my anxieties, and see if there's any idolatrous way, anything we put before Him. Search me. Is there anything before You in my life, Father? What is it? And lead me in the way everlasting. Before we make any other petitions, and give Him our list for the day? Have we examined ourselves as we enter into His holy presence? Do we see that time of prayer as His holy presence? We should possibly take a moment of self-evaluation to test our motives and ask the Father to reveal any areas in our lives that we need to work on or repent of. We're coming in the holy place. We're coming into His presence. Tom also mentioned last week that a disciple is called to be a servant. And this makes perfect sense if you're truly a disciple of Yeshua. When the disciples were arguing about who was the greatest amongst themselves, and I got a vision of this, I said, Lord, they had to be messianic. I can hear calendars, I can hear days and moons, I can hear pork. Yeshua continues to instruct them. Who's the greatest? It's me. I'm the greatest. No, come here and let me talk to you guys. Matthew 20, 27 through 28. Whoever desires to be the first among you, let him be my servant. Let him be your servant. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but came to serve. And He gave His life as a ransom for many. He gave everything He had. Everything He had. That's what our Master did. That's what our teacher is. That's who we say that we're a disciple of. Everything He had, He gave. As a student, we're not above our teacher. We're not above our teacher. If our teacher was humble, a humble servant, what should the student be? As soon as you have any pride in your life, you're missing it. Any type of a moment of pride, you've missed it. When you make it about yourself, you missed it. You need to go back, wash your hands in the laver, look in the mirror and say, Father, what is it in me that I'm having to deal with? Because I got pride in my life. I think I'm something that I'm not. A very short mention of the Talmud. Just one line. Avodah is a Hebrew word for service. The service of the temple priest was his avodah. Although avodah is linked to physical labor, and yes, I'm getting pretty close to being finished. Although avodah is linked to physical labor, it can also refer to the heart and spirit which labor together in prayer. It can refer to the heart and spirit which labor together in prayer. The service of the heart is prayer. That's avodah. The service of the heart is prayer. Although avodah is linked to a physical labor, it is a spiritual task. Working at prayer increases one recognition of His overwhelming need, our overwhelming need to know Him. Our overwhelming need to know what our function and purpose is. That's what we need to find out. That's what we need to be praying for. To commune with Him and rely on His grace, Mark. To rely on His grace. Mark gave us a great definition of grace in the men's study today, men's prayer. His grace in everything. We are a kingdom people, and we are not an island unto ourselves. Every word we speak, every action that we take has the potential of impacting someone else's life. I have a bad habit of blah, 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 just kidding, just kidding. Yeah, but you hurt me already. Now you're just kidding, and I don't think it's funny. Okay, all right. I got it. That was another rebuke for me. But those things, every word we speak, every action we take has the potential of impact in somebody's life, good or bad. In the Greek Western mindset, which we live in, we think more individually than communal than they did in that day. And Yeshua gives us this instruction, and you guys will all know this. When you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. I asked at our home group months ago, there was some of, where's the secret place? I'll leave that with you guys. Take that home. Where's the secret place? And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think they shall be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need of before you ask. Therefore, here's how I want you guys to pray. Our Father, inclusive in heaven and earth, your kingdom come, your will be done on this earth as it is in the Shemayim. Isn't that our prayer today? No matter what happens in this world, Father, your kingdom come on this earth as it is in heaven.
Amen.
Give us our daily bread. And forgive us our debts. And here's one I really want everyone to take home. And this could be a whole message. And forgive us our debts as we stop. Stop. As we don't go there, he doesn't go there. As we forgive our debtors, there is an action there. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. This was not a self-serving prayer, but one that was inclusive of the body of Christ, the body of Messiah, his believers. When we pray, are we praying a communal prayer so that all of us are getting blessed? It was a request to have God's kingdom upon the earth, his righteousness, his judgments, his just scales. Not sure we really want them, because it will apply to us too. They were to enter into their secret place, and I put their sacred space with the Almighty. Their sacred space with the Almighty. They were to shut the door. They were to keep out the distractions and worldly influences. There was an expectation that his disciples would pray, as Yeshua said, when you pray and not if you pray. There was an expectancy. We've been talking about that. The disciples were to be vessels that would take the message of his kingdom throughout the known world. They were to be servants, examples of godly lifestyles. They were to be able to articulately handle the word of truth, prepared through prayer and study. They were to be the representation of their master and their teacher. Are we that? Everyone looks sad. Don't be sad. Everyone's really sad. Everyone's really sad. There was an expectation after a season that maturity and growth would occur, good fruit would be produced, arguments over menial doctrines would be unnecessary, because Yeshua said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Because guess what? We can't depend on our own righteousness. We cannot depend on our own righteousness. So my question, and I'm done, do we hunger and thirst for his righteousness? Yes, this was a stinging message. It turned out that way. It wasn't the intention. But we're in a serious time. And I wish that maybe it would be a softer message. But we're in such a place. We have to get there. We have to get there. Do we hunger and thirst for his righteousness? Do we hunger and thirst for his righteousness if we're his disciples? Is there anything else that comes in between that and other things we're put in between it? So my last question would be, if not in the morning and not in the evening, then when is your set apart time, your secret place that you will meet with your master and ask the Holy Spirit to teach you? So Father, we lift up, Father, this message, Father. And I pray, Father, that you anoint this word, Father, and let it motivate us, Father, to get before you, Father, to come before you and ask, Father, for you to remove, Father, the things in our hearts, Father, that may be unpleasing to you, Father, like the priests came before the laver, Father, and washed themselves before they went into the holy space, Father, the holy place. Father, teach us that when we come before you in prayer, Father, that it's a serious time. We're coming before holiness, Father. And nothing unclean, nothing undefiled was to come in to your place, Father. Help us to come in with clean heart and clean hands, Father. Help us, Father, come before you in a spirit of repentance and humility, Father, so that we may be able to be used for you as the light, Father, in these end days, Father. Speak, even now, Father, to each person here. Speak, Father, challenge us. Father, we talked in the men's meeting today about being zealous, Father. We're finally starting to get a little zeal because something happened, Father, politically that jarred us, Father. But we should have been jarred long time ago. We should have been jarred long time ago, Father, and we've been very comfortable, Father. And those comforts, Father, may soon be taken away. So we're going to have to, Father, come into your holy place, Father, to get our provision and to get our instructions so that, Father, we have a plan and a purpose and a function that you want us to walk out and live out every day, Father. There's an expectancy, Father, that you have upon us that we will come before you, Father, that we will make you a priority in our lives, Father, that nothing else will come in between you and us, Father, and what those things are, Father, speak and show us so that we have remove them, Father, even if it's just for a season, Father, that we may hear from you clearly. So I pray, Father, a blessing over each person, Father. I pray encouragement, Father. I pray, Father, a strong mind and a willful spirit, Father. I pray, Father, determination, Father, to dig in, Father, like never before. I pray, Father, that we will, Father, just trust in you like we've never trusted before, that we'll operate, Father, in your grace and mercy like we've never operated, Father, that good gifts will be supplied to us, Father, so that we can walk this out and be a light, Father. We do not have the spirit of fear, Father, but we have the Holy Spirit working through us, Father, to lead us and guide us according to your plans and purposes. So we give you praise and glory, Father. We lift up your name and we praise your name and we treat you like that holy Father that you are, Father. In Yeshua's name, and everyone said, amen, amen. Amen. Amen.